Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Do you mind just closing the door? Thank you. The month of Nissan, sponsored by David and Nancy Smith, and the birth of a granddaughter, daughter to Helene and Max Agnes of Springfield, and for the yahrzeit of David's father, Moshe ben Shaul Yitzchak, the Cram family, Leilu Nishmas, Shoshana Reisel, Bas David Dov, Yitzchak Rai ben Nachum, Rebbe Zriel ben Yosef Tuvia, Necha Bas Ephraim, Zalman ben Rachel, and Mishpachat Sternberg for a healthy pregnancy, healthy mom, and healthy babies at the right time for Sarah Rivka Bas Chana Rus. And the week is sponsored by Rav Yitzchak and Shira Selter, loving memory of Shira's grandfather, of Yehuda Leib ben Harav Shalom. I also want to do the learning for the Refuah Shleima of Rachel Bas Bela. Okay. I think it's Rachel Bas Bela. Rachel Bas Bela. Also, our dear friend Seth Pearson's mother was just Niftaras. Lilui Nishmata Elisheva Bat Saraimenu. Elisheva Bat Saraimenu. Okay. So we're gonna end off. We're basically gonna. I'm almost certain that this is gonna be the last year that we're gonna have together, because I have no idea what's gonna be with next week, with all the preparations and whatnot. And so we'll make the most out of what we have right now. And this is a piece that I believe will help us again stay focused with a very clear kivun for every Pesach, and definitely this year's Pesach. There are more pages here for whoever needs. And I know that there are so many different hachanot for the Chag. There's so many different preparations for Yantiv on so many different levels. I try to remind the Chevra every year a teaching that I heard from Reb Chaim Kramer one time. Someone once came to Reb Chaim Kramer and said to him, if you really learn Hilchot Pesach, how do you, it's so burnt, it's so, the last thing you feel when you come to the Seder table is,
breathe.
Or, yeah, it's usually the opposite. And there's so many things you want, you know, you have to know, you have to keep in mind, and forget about the kavanas and everything, and the pnimiyas, just halachas, you know, just all the halachas you have to remember, and what happens when, how much of what, at what point, it's very overwhelming. And Reb Chaim Kramer gave the deepest answer. He said, you try to do your best. That's a free person. They try to do their best. And it resonated so deeply. I heard this many years ago, and it resonated very deeply. You try to do your best. And we're going to try to do our best with a mitzvah that the night is more, and the whole Yantiv of Pesach is basically based on. I don't know, well, you probably never did. The truth is, I didn't either. I just heard illustrations of the following. When the big rebbes would sit down to actually eat that first bite of matzah, do you know how long it may have lasted? Though it could be, it may have lasted sometimes for like half an hour. One bite. Just Reb Shlomo said he was by the Friedrich Rebbe one year for Leil Seder. You believe that? And the way he described it, and the way he would speak about it, just with that first bite of the matzah, they'd sit, and it was a whole movie. It was a whole thing. Now, again, one of the things that we have to deal with is that sometimes this used to happen when I was younger. I'd hear these stories about how the tzaddikim would do certain things. In my mind, I felt like that's the avodah. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And in practicality, I made everyone feel uncomfortable. Everyone else at the Seder feel uncomfortable. Because I was like, no, this is how, what do you mean? If it's not going to be like this, then how should it be, right? So we're not going to try to imitate or, you know, compare on any level. Certain minhagim that we hear, we keep it in mind, it goes in somewhere, it's somewhere inside. It stays, we have to just trust it. It stays somewhere inside. But what I want to do is to really just, hopefully, that from the learning we do today, something pops out, it stays here and goes into here, and it leads us towards Pesach, and we don't forget it, most importantly, Seder night. And really, that is the whole concept of achilas matzah. Sometimes you have chevra, they come back from yeshiva after the first year, they come with rulers. You ever see chevra come with rulers to the Seder table? Oh, now that's in the Haggadah, yeah. A placemat rulers, but the measuring, listen. It's sweet, it's, listen, I'm sure it's holy. I'm sure, Bemet, I'm sure. What time?
Timing also. I remember as a kid.
Yeah. Timing.
Time,
yeah. Then I went to my a very close friend of mine who's a very frum guy and a very big breast lover. And he was eating the afikomen like way after Chatzos. Like not even. I think they were in the middle of Magid at around Chatzos, right? They sat down to eat. I said to him, what's going on? He said, oh, Rabbi Nachman has a different perush on this, on what the concept of Chatzos, of Zmanim. It's like everything in its right measurement. Tarte Mashman, right? So we have the Chevra, they have rulers, and Beseda, that's a very, obviously we have to make sure we eat enough matzah, we drink enough wine. You got basic things about that. But you have to also have to make sure that we understand what we're doing when we're eating matzah. Reb Shlomo said matzah is soap. It's Pashut soap, it's a cleanser. It's literally a cleanser. The eating of the matzah itself is a cleanser. And in a year like this year, when there's so many different legitimate reasons to be distracted from basic things, I feel like this Blaze Hashem will give us a lot of help to remember certain key things that are just very simple, but very, very much chaval if we go through a Seder without doing this. So this is from Rav Kluger. He has three Sfarim, but two very, very big Sfarim on Pesach called B'ni Bechori Yisrael. This is mind-blowing. Every year I go into here, even the years we're not learning it, like in here, Rav Kluger has been for me just in terms of getting your game on towards what the Yontivs are all about, what the Pnimius of the Yontomim are all about, but in a very simple, in a relatively simple way. That's what I'm saying. In a relatively simply way. Okay. So let's go inside. I don't know how much we're going to do with this, but even if we just get to the first three or four paragraphs, I feel like it'll be kedai. אחת המצוות המרכזיות שאנו מקיימים בליל הסדר היא אכילת מצה. Now listen to this. וזוהי האכילה היחידה שהיא מצוות עשה מן התורה בזמננו. This is the only mitzvah to say. There are more pages here. Have we need? There's plenty. This is the only achila. This is the only eating. That's a mitzvah aseh min haTorah in our times. So, what does that make you question? like on a practical level, like in terms of other things that we know, eating has to do with kedusha and mitzvahs. What do you think? Like, what is this the only mitzvah aseh in haTorah that we have to regarding food? Yeah, and that's important. So, domeret. All the other times when we know seder, sudas mitzvah. So that Shabbat, the concept of a seuda, you know, the concept in Chazal say, "En simcha ela baser v'yayin." So you enhance the seuda by having meat and wine. Those are all enhancements towards a concept called the seuda. But the actual food, an actual food, is the only mitzvah sasim min haTorah is the food of matzah, which is such a strange thing because matzah, I don't know. It's not exactly the thing that we look forward to all year long to eat because of its taste, necessarily. More because of the concept. But this is the only mitzvah sasim min haTorah in our time. Kasher en anu zochim la'akriv korbanot v'et mikdashenu. Kayadu ha'machatam sofer. Chatam Tofer teaches us because we don't have the opportunity yet to bring korbanot in our Beis HaMikdash and eat from there. That would be the mitzvah. Because we even say in the Haggadah, v'nochal sham, min hazvachim or min hapsachim, we say the Beis HaMikdash, when there's a korban, the mitzvah was to eat from the actual korban. That was a mitzvah. But today, since we don't have that, the only thing we have, that it's a level of a mitzvah semin haTorah, is to eat the matzah. Nimtza. Sheyesh b'mitzvah s'achilas matzah mishum chidush, she'en b'chol sha'a mitzvah s'atayra. What is so unique? What is the chidush of eating the matzah that's different than all of the mitzvahs of the Torah? שבעוד שאת כל המצוות אנו מקיימים בגופנו מבחוץ, all of the mitzvahs that we do with our bodies, it's external. For instance, what? Give me any example. Bidiyuk, what else? Tefillin. lighting Hanukkah candles. These are all we do with our body, but it's outside. הרי שהמצה נכנסת בתוכנו ונהפכת להיות חלק מאיתנו. This is very important. Food, Rabbi Nachman has a whole teaching on this regarding Eretz Yisrael. We learned it one time, that the Meraglim came back and they said that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Ochelet Yoshveahi, remember? And he has three different teachings in Likutei Maharan explaining what it means that it's a land, that devours its inhabitants. Rabbi Nachman says, Teva Hamazon, שנתהפך לניזון. In other words, in a deep sense, you are what you eat, or you become what you eat. Rabbi Nachman explains there that part of what we eat that doesn't then leave us becomes part of our blood, of our brain, of everything. So in that teaching, Rabbi Nachman says, it's a privilege to get swallowed up by Eretz Yisrael. So then because Eretz Yisrael, you become part of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael becomes part of you. He says, you want to go to sit by a tzaddik and be amongst a tzaddik? You don't just want to be amongst a tzaddik, because that would be from the outside. You want to be swallowed up by the tzaddik. You want to become part of kilu, the essence of the tzaddik. So Rav Kluger is saying over here, the matzah goes inside of us and becomes part of us. Now that's true regarding all food, but not all food is a mitzvah sasei min haTorah. So the mitzvah asei min haTorah, the food that's a mitzvah asei min haTorah, that becomes part of you, must mean something very, 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 very strong. Umikocha zochim anu leachila bikdusha gam b'meshich kol hashana. Now this is the point of this shir. What wouldn't any of us do to feel that we got our eating on bikdusha? I think that's one thing, and I'm not just speaking about dieting, losing weight. I'm saying bichlal, the relationship to food, that my relationship to food throughout the whole year should be one that in its nature, it's a holy process. It's one of the greatest issues people have. Rav Kook said, one of the reasons, I forget if he said it about a specific bracha or just benching bichlal, he says that every time that we eat, you have to bench because you have to do a little bit of tshuva, because you know that it wasn't as high, the experience of eating wasn't as holy and as high as you had in mind before you took the first bite. So therefore, every single time you eat, right afterwards, you already, you know, go to this place of, I know, Rabbas Machshavas B'Levish, I had all these plans, this was going to be like a kohen sitting by a korban. It didn't end up being like that. So every time you eat, Rav Kook says, then you bench to bring out this notion of tshuva that it could have been better. So Rav Kluger is saying to us something crazy, something very important. What we just described, which I think was something that each of us want, that our relationship to food, because what's food? It becomes us. That which goes inside of us. That, can you imagine if after every meal for the rest of the year, there you felt actually energized and less tired and healthier and not a little bit? He says, the night of Pesach, that actually is a gate that opens. Because he says over here, from the koach, mikocha, from the koach of the matzah, the mitzvah's asay, being eaten up by us, consumed by us, we merit zochim anu leachila bikdusha gam b'meshach kol hashana. The kedusha of eating matzah at night, from if it's really on, if we're really there with the consciousness of what matzah is, and that with the remembering right now, it's like a very important thing. I don't know, in your Haggadahs, if you have the Hareini, Muchan Mezuman, usually it's some people have it just before like the four cups. But really, especially in this year that we spoke about, this awareness, inviting yourself into a mitzvah, and then doing the mitzvah with a higher degree of awareness and consciousness is a different mitzvah, and the effects last much longer. So I'm sure today there are plenty of agadas that you could get where there's a Hareini Muchan, which is basically saying, like literally saying this, right now I'm about to do the mitzvah sasei of eating matzah, but then add in your own words and saying, right now, I'm about to put something inside of me that's going to become part of me, that God commanded me to do. And I want to do it on the level of, and we'll expand on this in a little bit, that this type of eating has an effect on the way the rest of my year's eating is going to be. It'll be an amazing thing for this year's Seder. Not to pressure you anymore. I'm saying this is like one I actually would pressure you, because I actually think that this is a game changer. Bekoach hamechla demehemenusa she'achalnu shivat yamim. In the koach of this food, of this bread, of mehemenusa. Mehemenusa is emunah. Matzah is called lechem ha'emunah, the bread of faith. In the koach of the bread of faith that we're eating for 7 days. The real inyan, the real mitzvah to say min haTorah is like mamash regarding the matzah not to be taken lightly at all. You know, by Sukkot, it's basically, there's a whole debate whether all days of Sukkot, it's an aser d'oraisa to shake lulav and esrog, and we don't hold like that. It's really the first day, lekachtem lachem by yom harishon. The Torah says, only on the first day of Sukkot, you take for yourself, and then we darshan it out at the rest of it. But when regarding matzah, how many days does it say to eat matzah? Shivat yamim tochal matzot. So it literally says, like, there's a 7 day, it's a whole week of cleansing.
But we make
on the first day. Bidiyuk. Now that's the only diyuk, but the mitzvah of eating it is only on is 7 days. Shivat yamim tochal matzot tochenu. Now, why is this? So he brings a beer from the Zohar. וכמו שמבואר בזוהר הקדוש, במשל לחולה, שהרופא מורה לו לאכול במשך כמה ימים רק מאכלים מסוימים, ואחר שגופו עברי והתחזק, שוב יכול לאכול מאכלים נוספים. This answers the famous question. Remember the famous question of, how could it be that, why would I go back to eating something that during seven days resembles all the negative things in the world? What does chametz resemble for us? What are all the tires on chametz? What midah does the midah of chametz, what does it resemble? Gaiva, blown up, making yourself bigger than you really are. All the midot that we, all year long, we speak about how we want to rid ourselves from. And on, like, Seder night, I'm so in the Indian of shiflut, of hachna'a, of anava. And for 7 days, I'm eating, and it's like, wow, I'm so not connected to that blown up entity. This is like, I'm so small and I love it and it's good and it's good. And then Pesach comes out. It's about, I don't know, 7:34 p.m. And by 7:36 p.m., my phone is filled with text messages saying, Rav Shlomo, is our chametz bought back already? And the line, I remember in Los Angeles, the line, was bakery called, there was this store called Yummy Pita. This woman, Yafa. The line outside of Yummy Pita, Nagila Pizza, all the pizza places, my gosh, it was like around. What's the Indian? Like, why would you run back to that? So really, Be'emet, if the matzah eating was kara'ui, and the stomach is surviving, obviously, as well, even if you do eat the chametz that night, which you probably will, and there's no iser at all to eat chametz the second Pesach is out, it's a different approach to eating the chametz. Meaning that chametz, that thing that resembles that blown up thing, the koach of the matzah gives me koach to eat again in a holy, in a deeper way, with a more heightened state of awareness and consciousness. Now, with the mashal from the Zohar, what he said over here is that the doctor told the person, listen, you're not doing too good. If you really stay away from a bunch of things for 7 days and you only eat things that give you a lot of strength, you'll build the stamina again to be able to eat those things that right now are damaging you and causing a health hazard. You'll be able to go back to it and eat it in a proper way. That's how he's bringing out the whole idea of going back to something that kivyochol was like so wrong and so bad. It's like, it's the same thing with a lot of things in life that we feel like we just gotta stop it. We gotta get rid of. And one of the things I think about all the time is social media. The people go through detoxes. There's not a person in the world that I've met that has, you know, detoxed from social media and regrets it. Not a person. Mamash. Now the question is, when I go, if I detox from it, but I need it for parnasa. I had a conversation with someone yesterday. He says, listen, I need to get off this stuff. But I realized that for my parnasa, I actually do need to have some access and interaction with social media, because that's the name of the game today. That's just the way, that's like the rules today, kivyecho. So if you detox with the heightened state of awareness and consciousness with a kavana, that when you go back to it, it'll be in a, you got to check yourself. Definitely got to check yourself and make sure it's for real. You're ready to go back. But sometimes when we do these detoxes, it's not in order to say, I'm never going back to it again. It's in order to say that when I go back to it, it's different. I'll give you another example. Some chevra are very, very, I've seen this before with silent meditations and meditation retreats, the chule, and we've spoken about it here, that they take on silence. They just stop talking. And, you know, in other religions, that's a very big thing. You ever meet this chevra? They live in, monasteries, and for years they'll go without actually speaking, without talking. Our inyan is not that. We have to, Hashem gave us, actually, what separates us from animals, ruach memalala, a spirit that talks. So beseder, so you go to the place of not talking. That's fine. But when you come back, and it was for real, that state of not talking, the talking is different. This is what Rav Kluger is saying to us about what the place of Pesach is doing to us, what matzah, achilas matzah is doing to us, is that yes, during those 7 days, there's something going on in order so that when I am out of Mitzrayim and I'm out of Pesach, kivichol, that something lasts. And now I'm strong again. I get strong again. It's literally a cleansing period. It's a healing period. Mamash, achilat matzah, tkufat avra'a. It's a healing period so that when I go back, I have koach. Just like, you know, I don't know if they have this in, I know they have it in Hadassah. Do they have like that, in Shari Tzedek too, they have that whole like bit Malon Lioldot? In Hadassah they have it. They don't think they have it in Shari Tzedek. No? So it's like you experience something so exalted, which is like, boom, the leaving of Mitzrayim compared to it, right? That's the night of Pesach, of leaving Mitzrayim. And you're leaving, you're going through a whole process, and you need to be in this place of, I'm not really ready to come back to this world. I need this. You know, some people it's a real thing. But then you come, you have a tkufav avra'a, not so that you can go back and experience life again, because you can't. You experience something so glorious. And the transition back into the world is the rest of the 6 days after the first day of Pesach. And then coming back, Bezrat Hashem, with koach, to be able to eat again in a proper way. Ubenusach acher, in third paragraph, nimtza basfarim hakdoshim, she'achar she'layla ze huzman leidas nishmas Yisrael. In the svarim they call Pesach night, the zman of leidas nishmas Yisrael. Nishmas Yisrael is being born. The soul of Am Yisrael is being born on Pesach night. Mimele yesh li zeir biyoter le'echol rak ma'achalim mevurarim vezakim. So he's saying, I mean, he's not just saying this about matzah. I don't know what your menus are like, but he's saying bichlal Pesach night, if the whole thing is about that my eating is elevated in a very high way, also the rest of the night, you know, to eat very specific things that are really mevurarim vezakim. That means like, I don't know, sifted and refined food, but higher level. The rest of the night as well. Not exactly what happens in the Pesach programs in the hotels. You know, I didn't have Pesach at home. I think I had it one time in my whole life, till I was an adult. You too?
No.
You always had it. I don't know, because my father, we were always on these programs. My father was always leading this darim and chazen, and don't get me wrong, it was very, very exciting moments of our childhood, but all these different hotels and this and that. But I'm saying, like, when I think back at the, I have a memory right now. You know, my father, he's so cute. He, he played a lot of simchas when we were growing up. He was always playing simchas and playing on these, you know, these programs always. And I have this one, my siblings and I joke about this. You see that people were like could barely move because of how much they're eating at these things, and you'd start singing gastronomia. gastronomia. He would say, he would, on these retreats, do you ever see how much food, like the that you could live in the tea room. You know what the tea room is? Do you guys know what the tea room is on these retreats? The tea room is like a room. I don't know if they have this in Eretz Yisrael. In America, I don't know. They have it? Not on that level, right? You've seen those.
Yeah.
It's... How do you describe... A tea room has nothing to do with tea. Nothing.
No.
I don't even know if there is tea in the tea room. There is everything in the world all day. All day.
Constant smorgasbord?
Constant. Constant. All day. It's mamish, not a Rav Kluger experience. It's not a Rabbi Nachman experience of Pesach. You see what I'm trying to say? What's that?
I just wanted to add that Sarah Yehudit Schneider, in her Haggadah, she talks about how the very first Aveira, right, was in eating.
Right.
And that Leil HaSeder is like a tikkun for that original.
That's really what I wanted to say is that, listen, there's so many different pieces in this Sefer. I wanted to just go to one that we could say, like, let's put the focus on this year and say, like, because everyone I speak to wants to feel better in that area. Everyone. Some want to feel better. They want to eat more and eat more healthy. They need to get stronger. Some want to eat less. However we look at it, it's like Shoshana said, we have a tikkun with eating from the beginning of time. And they'll say that if it's Leidas Nishmas Yisrael, that it's being born again, so it's a chance to re-engage in this holy tikkun, like it's the first time. And we have to, but listen, matzah is called mechlad me'menusa. You have to believe this. You actually have to mamish have emuna that when you're eating matzah, you have to have first the das that you're doing a mitzvah semina Torah, but you have to have the emuna that this is mamish soap. This is cleaning your inside. This is cleansing us. Again, I want to start this paragraph again. What's that?
It's detox.
But you have to believe in it. You have to believe in it. That's the point. You can't just sit there and like say, no, it's not working. Like that's not it either. Now, some people they go through like spiritual work and they do an action, and then they go into the world of decision, of speculation. It's working. All those say, this is really working. A minute later, they're. It doesn't work like that. There's something, it's a deeper process that's inside. Chanukah candle, you could see if when you lit the Chanukah candle, that it's lit. With matzah, eating matzah, you know that you ate something, but you don't know, because it's inside it, what it's doing, what it's po'el. Ubenusach acher, menimtza basforim hakadoshim, she'achar shelayla zeh uzman leidas neshmas Yisrael, mimeila yesh lizeher biyoter lechol rak ma'achalim uvarim vizakim. Since we're being born that night, ke'otot tinok she'eno yechol le'echol kol ma'achal. Let's give a baby pizza. You're gonna give a baby, marble cake. Like what? A baby can't eat everything. Ela rak ma'achalim mevorim vezakim asher tuchal kevatol le'akel. But you can only give the baby certain foods that can be digested. Right, baby, and that's the same thing that's going on with us. כך בהתחלת העבודה מידי שנה בשנה, אנו נזהרים ממשהו חמץ. So this is how it's like it every single year. In the beginning of the year, which for us we know is now, that we're very cautious and careful from anything chametz. It says, the Gemara says, chametz asur b'mashu. That means there's no such thing as like, if you found a little bit of chametz, it's okay because the shear of chametz is, you know, a certain amount. Chametz is asur b'mashu, a crumb. It's chametz, right? So we're very careful from any crumb in the beginning. Shekena chametz mevate ta pirud ve'ara. Chametz expresses this separation and the bad. Ve'al ken anu ochlim rak matzah. Shemevatet achdut ubitul. Matzah symbolizes the opposite of pirud. Matzah symbolizes achdus and bitul. togetherness, which also, whenever if I, in order to really be together, I have to mevatel my I, the extra I that's not necessary, in order to be together. There's a lot of mamarim on this. Umisham mekablim anu koach leachol achar yom tov pesach gam ma'achalim acharim ve'aderabe le'ir b'chol abriya es or Hashem yisbarach or ha'emunah. It's not just that we have the capacity to then eat other things after Pesach in a more refined way, but we're able to illuminate in all of creation the light of Hashem, the light of Emunah. Ve'al ken, nitztaveinu shelo le'echol chametz shivat yamim, sheken bekach anu me'irim bechol komat ha'nefesh, b'shiva samidos, is'or ha'emunah. Why is it dafka 7 days? So without getting too much into it, we turn too much into the spheres. But the koma of the nefesh, that which builds our soul, this is basic Tanya, what he's telling us over here. The Sheva Midot. What's a good way that you say this regarding the 7 attributes of...
personality traits.
That's exactly what it is. Koma ta nefesh. The personality traits are 7, right? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. These are 7 traits that are being planted again and being restored into us for 7 days. This is the Or of the Emunah. Umechaskim ebonim et ha'emunah ve'yahadut lemeshech kol hashana kula haba likratenu. They build our Emunah and our Yiddishkeit. They mamash build our Yiddishkeit for the rest of the year. That's Bezrat Hashem will have. Sheklula misheva yamim shorshim. There's also 7 days of creation. The kol yom b'yom tov Pesach meir lemeshech kol hashana kula yom lashana yom lashana. So basically, well, this year, how does it work out? What's the first day of Pesach? Monday night, Tuesday, right? That's good. That's actually a good siman. Yeah. Amayim kitov, yeah. So that means, so basically, it's me'al hazman anyway, so like you're going into a world that's beyond time and nature. But since it's 7, the concept of 7 over here is saying that every single day I'm going, it's like on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the way I eat is planting the seeds for the rest of the Tuesdays or the Sundays, doesn't matter how you count it, for the whole year that should be done in a proper way through the midah, through the personality trait of chesed. That's also why we start dealing with all the midos during Pesach with Sfirat HaOmer, where we're going into all the different characteristic traits, then counting for 7 weeks, 7 days for each week. So this repetition over here is very important for us to realize that it's setting the stage for the rest of the year. It's not, Pesach is not just about Pesach. Pesach is about the rest of the year. Pesach is not just about Shavuot. It's about the whole year, even though it's a preparation to begin marching towards Shavuot. But Seder night, it all starts with that first bite of the matzah. It's also one of the reasons why I feel very strongly about this, even though it's not brought down la halacha like this. Like this is the reason why. But what do you serve? What do you eat after zman bitul chametz till Seder? What do you?
Nothing.
There's not a lot you can eat because you can't have chametz and you can't have any matzah. You can't have any matzah things either. So you can get really creative. That's not the point. The point is actually to realize I can eat very little. Like it's no inyan to faint by the time you get to the Seder. I remember 1 year, it was such a stupid, immature spiritual decision. I said, it'll probably be a deeper hachana. I'm a bechor, right? So I have to hear a siyum in the morning. I said, you know what? It's probably better this year, if I dive in on my own and I don't go to hear a siyum, to mamish fast erev Pesach, 3 p.m. I'm falling. I wasn't married yet. I was falling on my face. I was feeling horrible and nervous and anxious because I had to lead a seder that night. It's in Los Angeles, for like one of these communal hippies darim. I mean, I loved them, but not when you're fasting. So I remember I mommy started learning a masechta to see if I could, what I could do, how much I could cram. It didn't go anywhere. It ended up being not one of the most memorable ones, but that's why basically, again, even the eating, tikkun of eating really starts even before Seder night because of this man. You got there, let's see. Probably you have to stop eating like 10, usually like 10, 20 chametz, mashkaze. And say, you only face it, there's no such thing as early yontiv when it comes to Pesach, because you have to dive in v'zman, you know. So when are you sitting, and then there's halal, the first night of yontiv. What time are you actually eating? What time are you going to the Seder table? Nine. Around 9. 8:39. That's the Seder table. When are you starting to eat?
That's why that karpas is so yummy.
You know that my father was in a movie. My father was in a few movies as like these, like chazen roles or action. One of the movies my father was in, I don't recommend watching it because I actually, you know what? I never actually watched the full thing because I realized this is wacky, but it's a movie called When Do We Eat? Have you, any of you heard of this movie?
I've watched it.
Yeah? It's crazy. It's about the most dysfunctional family in the world getting ready for Seder. The name of the movie is When Do We Eat? And one of the kids is so like just such a tripper, and he can't connect to, and he has no patience or anything. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna make this exciting, and he doses his father at the beginning of the Seder in the first hagafah, in the first cup. Meaning he puts acid in the right, and then he's, and then why am I telling you this? Because then then what ends up happening is that and because everyone's suffering so much, everything, and the father's so uptight. I think this is what happens. The father's so uptight and he's so atzbani, and then he drinks, and then. And then those looks begin, and then suddenly he has this epiphany, and my father with Yehuda Solomon and another person appear in his mind as three chazans that look like bakers, and start singing in his mind all these wacky songs and kitzur. When do we eat? That's the name of the. That's what the kids are, you know, yeah, they're excited for Manishtana. That excitement lasts very little, you know. Once Manishtana is over, they think it's done. You know, kid thinks, what's Seder? It's just Manishtana, I'm Dayenu. This is Gamalnu. You know, there's a whole, Magid keeps on going for a while after Manishtana. There's a lot going on over there. Anyway, this is just all important stuff to like, how do you give over to a child the concept of like, that this is the night of Tikkun Achila, I have no Eitzah. No, I admit, I have no etzas for this.
It's so funny that you say that, because I feel like dafka efech. I feel like since I become a parent, maybe it's because I'm married to Yoni Berg, but the shift of let's feed them at 5:30 so they don't go cranky, / karpas is any adama and any liquid, and Yoni learns about it, and we do strawberries dipped in chocolate. When you get it, we have soup at 11 o'clock at night, but they're good.
Okay, no. I'm not talking about how to... I'm not saying techniques of starving your children to 11. I'm talking.
Obviously, but this shift—that's how I grew up. The starving,
right.
IMDb in this now.
Can. But it's good. It's good.
A beautiful shift to have this concept.
Of rega.
I think that children also don't need that tikkun. Or I think that's a tikkun that kind of.
You, yeah, as we get older, yeah.
Over the years, well, then you need
it's true.
Bring that in, like, well, they eat when they're hungry, they stop when they're full.
And if not, you'll see the crankiness, and you have to shift that for them.
It's true.
We don't need to give that
it's
over.
True.
We need to be an example for them so that they can understand what it means when the taiva starts kicking in.
Yeah, Mamash. That's for sure. I think that's very meduyak. They're closer to the time that they were born than we are. Right? They're closer to the leidatam than adults are, maybe. That's very deep. Cholyot. That's very deep. Okay, so we're just gonna one more short paragraph here. So I think there's Ve'ina ita basfarim hakadoshim shamatza sheochlim bnei Yisrael hi bevchinat man. The svarim say that matzah is actually man, because the truth is it doesn't taste like, you could. It's nice to have all these thoughts and different theories, and matzah does not taste like anything. It's not supposed to taste like anything. What else didn't really taste like anything? The man. But how did it end up tasting like what it ended up tasting like? How did that happen with their exactly? Like we always say, the manna, like when as a kid, the way I learned it was like the manna came down, and what did it taste like? If you wanted it to be burgers, it was burgers. If you wanted it to be pizza, it was pizza. Is that how anyone else?
Yeah.
Huh? You still think like that? I'm sorry. No. That's true. That's absolutely true. That is exactly what it felt. I mean, Ariella, it was tofu. It was like cucumbers or whatever it was, whatever you want. But that's really how it was. Like there was manna. It came down. And then there was the kavana of like what this was going inside of me, basically determined what it ended up being for me. Nachon, that's what it was. What's matzah? It's the same exact thing. V'hine ita b'sfarim hakdoshim shehamatzah she'ochlim b'nei Yisrael b'vchinas man lechem min hashamayim she'elav zachu al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. In the merit of who did the manna come down? Moshe Rabbeinu. K'divri Chazal. Like Chazal tell us in the Gemara Tainis. ולא רק שבזכותו של משה רבנו זוכים להשפעת המן, אלא שהמן מבטא את מציאותו ועבודתו של משה רבנו. It's not just that in the merit of משה רבנו we merited to have manna, but the manna expressed the mitzius and the way משה רבנו was an Eved Hashem. It's very important. כמו שכוסף בליקותי, it says in ליקותי מוהר"ן, כסיב בא ויאמר משה, Elehem hu halechem. The pshat of the pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu told them, "This is the bread." But in Hebrew, the word "hu," what does "hu" mean in Hebrew? If you're talking about something, so you, it means "this is." But you could also say, read it differently. Bayomer Moshe Elehem. Moshe Rabbeinu told them. He spoke to them. Hu halechem. Rabbi Nachman says he is the lechem. He is actually the lechem. He is the masbiya, right? It's gevalt. Hu daika kai al Moshe be'atzmo shebezchuto achlu haman. V'yesh leva'er et ha'shayachut shel Moshe Rabbeinu im hashpa'as haman. Now let's just get a little bit deeper with Moshe Rabbeinu and this shefa of the manna. Sheken Moshe Rabbeinu natan livnei Yisrael et ha'Torah shehi ha'mazon haruchani shel nishmas Yisrael. You know how Moshe Rabbeinu wanted us to learn Torah? On the level of eating it. Because when we said, like we said in the beginning, when we eat something, teva hamazon nitapech lanizon, that the nature of what you consume becomes you. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want us to eat, to learn Torah, like we do any other mitzvah, where it's outside of me. I can learn kol haTorah kula, and it could stay outside of me. Or I could learn one pasuk, and that's the pasuk that is like the matzah, where it's a mitzvah that goes inside of me, and I'm so much more closer to it than all the Torah that I know, but I know it on the outside. How did Moshe Rabbeinu want us to learn the Torah that he gave us? Like matzah, like the manna, inside. It's our mazon ruchani. It's our spiritual nourishment. Ve'al ken yishpi alehem Moshe Rabbeinu gam et haman. שכן התורה והאמן הם עניין אחד, שניהם מזון רוחני ופנימי לנפש האדם. כדברי חז"ל, לא ניתנה תורה אלא לאוכלי המן. Like חז"ל tell us, the Torah was only given to those that ate the manna, that those that ate something that went inside them, and they had to have the consciousness and awareness of what they're eating for it to mean anything to them. It's to that generation the Torah was given to. And that reenacts itself every single year. כמבואר בספרים הקדושים שהתורה היא בחינס מזון עד הנשמסה. As the Sfarim tell us that the Torah itself is our soul nourishment. כבשנו של ספר התניה, I love when this Breslover starts quoting the Alter Rebbe, לא ניתנה תורה, לבושי הנשמות בגן עדן הם המצוות. והתורה היא המזון לנשמות שעסקו בעולם הזה בתורה. Have any of you ever seen this before in Perakei and Tanya? No, you have to teach them again. Levushei haneshamot began Eden haMitzvos. What does that mean? What's the levush of the neshama? What does that mean? The levush of the neshama, the levush, the garments, the clothing of a neshama in Gan Eden are the mitzvahs that we do in this world. Ve'atorah hi amazon, and the Torah is the food that we, the Torah that we learn in this is the food.